Welcome.
Thank you.
Am I mic on?
Yes.
Good. I'm going to ask Jermina to come to read our verses for us this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me get this mic here.
But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all men has come, all die, so also in Christ shall we all be made alive.
Amen.
But each in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Amen. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed.
Amen.
For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?
That's the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning. We're so thankful that we have your word. Your word is living, and we pray this morning that your word would operate within each one of our hearts. Lord, we love you. We pray that you'd be with us this morning. Speak to each heart here what you want to speak to each one. We ask this in your dear and precious and holy and mighty name. Amen. Well, resurrection matters. If you didn't enjoy those verses, I hope you would read them later today or sometime this week. The more I'm in this, the more I'm excited, be honest with you. I love this section, and after this week in preparing, I love it even more, and I hope next week I will love it even more. Resurrection matters. Why? Because resurrection changes the past, resurrection changes the present, and resurrection changes the future.
Amen.
Resurrection matters. It is one of the most critical things when we're talking about essentials of the faith. We've been covering essentials. We have a list of things, and we're coming to the point we're at Christ. And today, actually, we're talking about resurrection of Christ and our resurrection, because these two are intimately related. Why do we need to understand the matter of resurrection? Because resurrection, if we understand it properly, should change the way we live today. How we live our lives, if we understand resurrection as it Bible reveals to us, should change the way we live today in the present. How we understand the future affects how we live in the present. So, what is your understanding of what happens after you die? No, none of us like to talk about death, but hey, listen, for activists, one thing besides taxes, there's death, right? So let's talk about real stuff. After our body is buried and our soul and spirit are with the Lord, waiting for resurrection. Where you go after you die is not clear and is not as important as the fact that it is a transition time waiting for resurrection on the day that the Lord returns. That's the crucial point. What happens in the interim is what we call an interim time. It's a temporary state. And so Paul, the apostle, calls it being unclothed. Yeah, we are unclothed. Why? Well, because we're missing our body. Because we don't have a body, we're not clothed. 2 Corinthians 5:4 mentions this. He talks about being unclothed, right? Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. So he talks about this situation. At the Lord's return, our bodies will be resurrected, changed, renewed, restored to what could have been and should have been before the fall. So, we'll get more to that later. Our bodies, we know quite sure today, our bodies are quite crucial in the present, right? If your body is not here, you're not here, right? But more than that, the biblical view of our bodies is quite high. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Today, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Even your body in its present state is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Should it be weak, should it be sick, it is still a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not only that, same chapter, verse 15, Paul says, your bodies are members of Christ. Get a load of that. Your bodies are members of Christ. So Paul's view of our body, even in the present, is extremely high. Don't think your body doesn't matter. Your body matters. And also, concerning this matter of resurrection, you may have the thought, and I've said this myself, oh, my body is just my donkey. No, it's more than that. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is not something to be, well, one day, finally, I'll get rid of this body. That's not Paul's thought. That is not Paul's thought when he talks about our body in 1 Corinthians. It's not like, we have a picture. It's not like, okay, I've got a spirit, I've got a soul and a body, and three parts. Where's that train? And one day, I'm going to drop off one of the cars, my body. That's not the thought. That's not the thought. Okay, to understand resurrection, we have to go back to Christ's resurrection. He is the pattern for, when we talk about resurrection, to understand resurrection, we have to look at the prototype. Christ, I like that song we sang. I believe in the resurrection. Christ was raised from the dead. So let's look at Christ's resurrection. When Christ was raised from the dead, on the morning of resurrection, what happened? Disciples went to the tomb. The tomb was empty. Why? The body that was in the tomb was no longer there because that same body that died on the cross was raised to life. Yes. It was not a new body. It was not a different body. It was a changed body, but it was the same body. So when the Lord appeared to his disciples on the night of his resurrection, in Luke 24, we have these verses. First of all, he says, the angel says, he's not here. He's risen. He is not here. Jesus is not in the tomb. He is not here. That means his body is not here.
Yes.
He's not here. He and his body are one.
Right.
He's not here. Why? Because he's raised. His resurrection, the fact that his body was not in the tomb means he resurrected. He was the same person before as after, but with a resurrected body. So in John 20, when the Lord came to his disciples that night, he said, John 20, next, do we have that slide? In John 20, he said, on the evening of the first day of the week, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Why? His hands were pierced on the cross. His side was pierced on the cross. He showed them what? Evidence of his body that had been crucified. Same body, but resurrected. Same body. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. A few verses later, he says to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. It was a physical body that could be touched. Even more so, Luke. In Luke, do we have that? Yeah, Luke 24. As they were talking about, this is also after the resurrection. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit or a ghost or whatever, right? And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do your doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And continue. While they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, okay, you still don't believe me? Let me eat something. Let me eat something. Let me see you see me eating. Spirits don't eat physical food. It's just trying to make the point. So what Jesus' body... it's the same person, but with a resurrected body. But physical, touchable, having the ability to eat. Go figure. Okay. So, it's not a spirit. But his resurrection, the fact that his body was the same but resurrected body was proof that he overcame death. If Jesus' body before death was a different body than after resurrection, like he got a new one, discarded the old one, then the old one should still be in the tomb. It should still be there. But it wasn't. And if his old body remained in the tomb and he got a new body, a different one, he would not have overcome death. Because the old body would still be dead. But he conquered death.
Amen.
He conquered death through resurrection. Okay. Does that make sense? I hope we're somewhat clear. Now, as we said, Jesus' resurrection is the pattern for our resurrection. And that's basically what 1 Corinthians is all about. It's comparing Christ's resurrection, our resurrection. Christ's body in resurrection, our body in resurrection. So Romans 8:23 says, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, what? The redemption of our body. The redemption of our body is resurrection. Or you could say the redemption of our body and resurrection is the completion of the salvation that God is giving to has given to us. When we committed our life to the Lord, yes, we say, I got saved. Yes, we did. We had an inner transaction. Something changed within us. But God's salvation is complete. He even wants to change not only us inwardly, he even wants to change our body. And that happens on the day of resurrection. God's salvation is not partial. When we're young, we feel like, oh, my body's great. But someday that day is coming. Comes to everybody when you suddenly realize, huh, it's not working like it used to. Okay. Sorry, I missed something here. So what kind of a body will this resurrection body be that we have? Well, first of all, I said we have to look at Christ's pattern. But 1 John 3:2 says this, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Whoa. When he appears, we shall be like him. That means when he's coming, when he comes back, we will be like him. So, in 1 Corinthians, he uses this phrase. 1 Corinthians, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 20. Yes, verse 23. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits. That's Christ is the first fruits. I know it doesn't make sense English-wise. Should be first fruit, but hey, that's the Bible. Christ is the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Christ is the first fruits, the pattern of resurrection. Then following that is all those who belong to Christ at his coming. So that again shows you this pattern of Christ being first and we following in like manner. Okay, so our resurrection is a physical resurrection. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Okay. We got a quote here from Randy Alcorn. Of Americans who believe in a resurrection of the dead, and just don't criticize Americans, you probably, Canadians could be put there too. 2/3 believe they will not have bodies after the resurrection. But this is self-contradictory. A non-physical resurrection is like a sunless sunrise. I like that analogy. There's no such thing. Resurrection means that we will have bodies. If we don't have bodies, we won't be resurrected. Okay. However, you may have the concept is that it's a totally different body. If it's a totally different body, then it's not a resurrected body. It's another body. In resurrection, you will still be you. In resurrection, Bob will be Bob. He won't be Fred. In resurrection, you will see Bob as Bob, but a resurrected Bob with a resurrected body. The comparison is like this. At one point, you were an unbeliever. One day you received the Lord in your heart. Something happened. Something changed. You were converted.
Yes.
But you were still you. One day, Roy was an unbeliever. One day he became a believer. He got converted. He got regenerated. But it was still Roy. His mother still saw him as Roy. It's the same in resurrection. But something happens. Something is changed. Paul says in Philippians 3:21, he will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. There's a transformation. Not an exchange, but a transformation. Not something to be discarded, but to be changed. John says we will be changed, right? Changed, not replaced. So, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, we shall be changed, for this perishable body must put on imperishable. Notice it doesn't say this perishable body should be thrown away and let me get another one. No, the perishable puts on imperishable. This mortal must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, if you didn't get it the first time, Paul says, tries again, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What makes death swallowed up in victory? Something that died is resurrected. Death is overcome.
Amen.
Not death is bypassed. No, it's overcome through resurrection. Our body matters. Romans 8:11. For if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who indwells you. I used to always think of this verse as present, referring to the present. But this whole verse is about resurrection. It's all about resurrection. Look at the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. How can you tell a person who is on their deathbed, oh, the spirit will give life to your mortal body, so get out of bed? No, it doesn't make sense. This is talking about resurrection. This is talking about when the Lord comes back, our bodies will be raised. What happens in resurrection? All the things that happened due to the fall will be erased, will be undone. So Jesus, in Matthew 11, this is when John the Baptist was, well, how do I know? How do I know you're the Christ? How do we know he's the one? And basically, Jesus started telling him what he does, and he's actually quoting from Isaiah. Isaiah 35 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. You think about that. Here in Isaiah, it's actually talking about physical things. Not spiritual things, physical things. What? The eyes of the blind opened. The ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man leaps like a deer. The tongue of the mute sing for joy. Every physical limitation, every physical ailment, every birth defect will be undone. You and I will be resurrected to have a body that will be recognizable, yet much more than what it is today. Fanny Crosby, who basically spent all of her life, except for the first 6 months, blind. She made this statement, you know, one thing about Fanny Crosby is, if you ever feel sorry for yourself, you should be ashamed. When you think about her, having written 8,000 songs, poems. Her grandmother sewed into her, spent hours with her, helping her memorize the Bible. Some of the songs she wrote, for example, this one begins, the chorus is, praise the Lord, but pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. There's another one, another line that she wrote, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story of his grace, that I'm saved by grace. This is what she said. If I had a choice, I would still choose to remain blind. For when I die, the first face. Isn't that wonderful? The first face I will ever see will be the face of my blessed Savior. She had a hope, a longing, and a strong conviction. I will see him face to face. Why? She may not have been clear about the resurrection and all of that, but she was clear one thing. I'm going to see him. Amen. Joni Erickson Tada, some of you heard of her. She became a quadriplegic because of an accident, right? She talks about her resurrected legs. In other words, okay, one day in the resurrection, I will be able to stand, jump for joy. She's not talking something spiritual. She's talking something physical. And apparently, one time, she was speaking to a group of people. Many of them, or most of them, were, listen to this, mentally handicapped. And as she was talking about herself and having new legs, or legs that worked, I should say, because to her, her legs couldn't feel them, how else you'd describe it? She said to those people with mental handicaps, listen to this, she said, and you will have a new mind. How about that? On the one hand, we will recognize each other, we will know each other, yet at the same time, we will be in resurrection to be what God intended us to be before the fall. How precious. We're going to have the Lord's table. But I'd like to just say this before we do that. Where's my page 4? Here we are. There's another quote I have here from Randy Alcorn. I think this is helpful. Inside your body, even if it's failing, is the blueprint for your resurrection body. You may not be satisfied with your current body or mind, but you'll be thrilled with your resurrection upgrades. With them, you'll be better able to serve and glorify God and enjoy an eternity of wonders He has prepared for you. We have a hope. We have a hope, not just in this life, but our hope is in resurrection. In spite of our weakness, in spite of our sickness, in spite of our limitations, in spite of even deformities, we will get a renewed body. We may have physical problems today. Just think about this. No more pain. No more depression. No more limitations. No more glasses. No more walking aids. No more handicaps. All of the things that the fall took away from us will be restored. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer. The tongue of the mute will sing for joy. It's almost beyond belief, but this is our hope. This is our longing. This is resurrection. Something for us to long for. And I shall see Him face to face.
Praise the Lord. Maybe like many of us, you get caught up in your everyday living. You're just trying to walk your daily walk with the Lord. Maybe this morning was the first time in months you've had that assurance, that certainty in your heart of the coming resurrection, which is the hope of our salvation. So the Lord has arranged this morning that we would have a lunch together, and you're going to be able to sit down with 100 or 200 other people in all of that lovely time together, just talking about work and children and all the things we've lost track of with each other. May you find a moment to speak of the hope in you that's been renewed this morning, the hope of our salvation. So for announcements, I just refer you to the bulletin. For the hope of your salvation, I refer you especially to Romans 8:23. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. Hallelujah. Maybe you could just bow your heads and I will pray for us for our lunch together. Dear Jesus, thank you for everything you've done for us out of that fathomless love that you have for us, that sent you to the cross to die our death for us. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've wrought in us, our reconciliation to the Father, to yourself. And we thank you this morning, Lord, for our time with you right here, right now, and for our coming time with you at the lunch table. Lord, be with us there. We thank you for the food we're about to eat. We thank you for the fellowship we are about to have. And we thank you for that hope we have continual in you, ultimately resurrected, facing you physically, Lord. Amen. Amen. We'll stop here. And we have no Q&A session today, but we do have a prayer room next door. And please join there. There'll be those to pray for you. Also, next, Lord, here, those of us in the Corporation of the Church of the Torontonians for the annual general business meeting. Next Sunday night, 7 p.m. Amen.